Well, it is my pleasure and honor to be here this morning to talk with you guys. It's always just a blessing to be able to prepare and come up and share a little bit. You see up there, it says the off season. So as many of you know, this past week, the NFL draft happened. It started on Thursday. For football fans, it's a welcome event during the off season. It's a subject of nonstop speculation for sports pundits from the end of the Super Bowl up until and after draft day. For the college players that are eligible for the draft, everything that they have worked for their entire athletic lives comes down to these few days. Will they be picked by a team or not? Did you know that two of the last three first overall draft picks are from right here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area? 2017 was Arlington Martin's own Myles Garrett. This year, it was a guy named Kyler Murphy from that other big school, Allen. And the third of the last three, Baker Mayfield, who was drafted last year, was from Lake Travis in the Austin area. This is Texas, and football is king. King with a little K. Now that the draft is done, there's not going to be too much going on in the football world until mid-July when training camp starts. We're coming off of Resurrection Sunday, Easter last week, and one of my favorite traditions here at CCC is on Easter Sunday, our youth gets dressed up in pajamas to hide eggs for the littler kids. It's a wonderful tradition. I don't know when it starts, but I loved having my kids participate in that. About 4 years ago, when Lauren was a sophomore, she invited a friend of hers to come on Easter Day. And so we go to pick her up, and we're there, we knock. Nobody comes to the door. We're like, goodness, she forget we were coming. It's kind of early on a Sunday. We knock again. Finally, this young lady comes out. We get in the car. We're like, hey, we're happy to have you. She said, oh, I'm so sorry I was late. I said, well, what happened? She said, well, I got dressed and I was ready to go. My mom saw me in my pajamas and she's like, what are you doing? And she said, well, no, Lauren told me I could wear pajamas. It's okay. That's what their church does. She said, what are you talking about? Easter is like the Super Bowl for Christians. Like, you can't be in pajamas. So if Easter is our Super Bowl, does that mean that we're in the off season until Christmas? Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to come together. Thank you so much for the many blessings that you've given to us. Father, just the opportunity to get up this morning and come together with your family, with my brothers and sisters, and in your house, and lift your name and break bread and remember your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, it's just such an honor to be here today. Father, as I do every time I speak, I just ask that the message that everyone hears today be your message and not mine, that we might leave from this place with a fresh fire in us. We say these things in your son's name, amen. All right, so as we pick up this week after Resurrection Day, we're going to look at the road to Emmaus to start out. We're in Luke 24, starting with verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking to each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know these things that have happened in the last days?" It's like when the Super Bowl was here in 2011, somebody would stop you and go, what's all this traffic? Like, have you seen Jerry World? It's covered. It's the freaking Super Bowl, right? Verse 19, what things, he asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as a woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. The disciples had lost the big game. They'd bet on the favorite, and he had lost. They had started to return to real life. Is that what we do? All you had to do last Sunday was flip through the guide flip to the Guide channel on television and you would see more programming about Jesus than any other day. I could not go hardly 10 channels without seeing Jesus in the title of a show. Death of Jesus, Life of Jesus, Life and Death of Jesus, Rebellious Jesus, Jewish Jesus. On and on it went. There's no more holy day in our modern Christian culture than last Sunday. But what now? Are we in the off season? This morning, I'm going to take a look at a few similarities that I found. When this idea popped into my head a few weeks ago, I found the studying to be challenging and enlightening. Back to the road to Emmaus. Verse 25, he, Jesus, said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself, Jesus." It would seem that the men on the road had missed the signs that Jesus had given them when he was alive. Jesus must have been thinking, man, did I not cover this Messiah thing when I was amongst them? Did I not make it clear that I am the fulfillment of prophecy? My first idea this morning is that during the off season, you have to get your head right. When you get to the off season in sports, it gives you time to reset your mind. You've been so immersed in the game, you've been living and breathing every aspect of it for months. You reach a point that in our house we call brain mush or brain fry. Many athletes will immediately take a vacation and not think about the game for a while. They do this in an effort to return to the offseason prepared and dive back into the game that they love. Are we as Christians different? Have you ever experienced a time when the word became stale, when worship had lost its meaning? Perhaps you are in need of a time of renewal. Romans 12, 1 and 2, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Perhaps we need to take a new and fresh look at the word. One of the ways that I am doing this is through our Sunday morning class, watching the videos that are based in the Holy Land and seeing the application of the word to its surroundings. The history and the accuracy of it has really brought a new life to the word for me. I'm looking forward to the videos, and if you're not able to make the Sunday morning class or if you miss a week, I encourage you to track down a link and watch the videos. Perhaps you're just rereading the same few books of the Bible. Perhaps your study routine is the same. Listen, if everything is working great, by all means, stick with it. But if you're finding things routine or flat, seek out a way to make the word fresh and alive again. In sports, at every level, one of the biggest enemies is burnout. One article I read put it like this: what is burnout? What most people think of as burnout, complete physical and emotional exhaustion, is really just the last and worst phase of burnout. The first stage is a sense of staleness, where performance lacks crispness and energy. The second stage, overtraining, is where performance begins to plateau. There's a fine line between being at peak performance and overtraining because it's so easy for the athletes to overdo it. The final stage of exhaustion and withdrawal is the end game for burned out athletes. I don't know about you, but that description sounds a whole lot like life in general to me. I admit sometimes going through the day worried about my kids, my aging parents, my friends, knowing that this is an election year, Lord help us. I feel a sense of exhaustion and withdrawal. I question my effectiveness, and I can hear it in my prayer life even. Maybe this is just my baby Christian talking, but sometimes I don't pray with the confidence that I used to. I've talked before about my prayer reminder app. It reminds me every day at 9 a.m. to pray for my kids. It gets routine. As a matter of fact, when I was writing this message, I changed that. So now I pray for each of my kids separately and at different times of the day. I'm changing it up. I think that at one time or another, we are all in need of a time of renewal in our faith walk. This is nothing to be ashamed of. I think it's vital that we recognize this and take steps needed to find that fresh fire. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says, That, however, is not the way of life you learned. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him, in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. While Paul here is talking about our salvation experience, this is not a one-time act. I am constantly dying to my old self and being made new in the attitude of my mind. And honestly, I probably need to do more of that. My second idea this morning is around being in the off season this morning is this: get your body ready. Once the athlete returns from vacation, the mental time of renewal, they must decide how they are going to treat their bodies and minds. For many football players, the off season runs from mid-January through mid-July. That 6 months makes a big difference. The successful athletes don't rest during the off season. Sure, they will recoup from nagging injuries, but they don't just sit around eating bonbons and playing video games. If you talk to coaches and trainers, the off season is what makes or breaks the athlete on game days. If the athlete has not focused on his or herself in the time away, if they've not made a focused effort to stay in shape, to stay sharp, there's little chance that they will be ready come game day. This should be no different for us. We must continue to prepare our body, our spiritual muscles, even in the off season. How do we do this? Practice. The study really challenged me as I looked at faith in the context of a game or an event. Do I think about practicing my faith in the way that I practice hitting a softball or preparing for a 5K race or even practice delivering a message? Is this a thing? I think so. 2 Timothy chapter 4 says this: "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge: preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when the people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." Social media. "They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry." I must be ready. I've talked here a few times about the health journey that Jennifer and I have been on for the past year. I must admit that I'm struggling these past 4 months. It seems that I took the holiday season off and I've yet to recover. The side effect of this are that my gym workouts have gotten further and further apart. My running has gotten shorter. My walking has gotten longer. I suffer from "I'll start on Monday-itis." I keep telling myself that I got to get back to the basics. I've got to have the self-discipline to deny my stomach what it desires and make the hard choices. These same things apply to my faith walk. I need to make sure that I'm getting back to the basics, spending time in the Word outside of my preaching weeks and Sundays. I need to set up good habits that lead me to growth. I know I can do it. I've been there before. I'm searching for ways to practice my faith. Is it scripture memorization? Is it changing up my prayer routine? Then Lord and Google was kind enough to share this with me. "You lazy fool. Look like an ant. Watch it close. Look at an ant. Watch it closely. I'll let it teach you a thing or two. Nobody has to tell it what to do. All summer it stores up food. It harvests. It stockpiles provisions. So how long are you going to laze around and do nothing? How long before you get out of bed? A nap here, a nap there, a day off here, a day off there. Sit back. Take it easy. Do you know what comes next? Just this: you can look forward to a dirt poor life, poverty, your permanent house guest." It's Proverbs 6 through 11, the Message interpretation. In this off season, I need to focus on building my faith, becoming stronger, more knowledgeable Christian, be in touch with the Holy Spirit. I need to be able to recognize the ways that the Lord is working in my life. I need to be able to stand confidently on the word of our Lord. I'm no expert. I'm delivering the message that God led me to. I don't know where you are weak. I don't know if you are weak. But I want to encourage you to take a good, honest look at your faith practice. Look at how you are building up your faith muscles. And if you feel it is lacking, take this off season to work on it. Because we all have to be ready to go into the game. This is my last thought this morning. We're very familiar here at CC with this scripture. John 16:33, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Friday night, 10 p.m., I got this text from my neighbor. If I give you some of Buddy's dog food, would you mind feeding and watering him tomorrow, Sunday, and maybe Monday? I just woke up for work toward the one of my and Yukino's best friends in Tulsa collapsed from a brain aneurysm this morning. Docs are trying to get her husband to take her off life support tomorrow. We're about to make an emergency trip up there as soon as I can pack the car. Okay, Lord, I'm in the game. How can I serve my neighbor? How can I be a light to him? What words do I say? What should I do? Sure thing. Just let me know when you want to give it to me. Okay, I'm trying to make arrangements for everything by text and make plans by text. It's taking a bit, but I can barely get a sentence out of my mouth without bawling. I'm so sorry, man. I'm praying for you and the whole situation right now. Thank you. Please, all prayers concentrated on her, Ray Beach, that God will spare her life. So I sent him a prayer. Father, you know Ray's situation. I pray right now that your healing hand move across her, and I ask for a miraculous healing. Father, we ask you for your love and grace right now. Father, we are not ready for Ray to come home. In your son's powerful and holy name, amen. It's the real world. I need to comfort him. Saturday at noon. Buddy, his dog is all good this morning. How are things going? Awesome for Buddy. Not so much for Ray. Not looking good up here. They're getting ready to do tests to determine if she's brain dead. I don't think my ducks have any more tears in them. If it happens, we'll be coming home for a few days and then come back up to help Rick out. My response, we're here for you guys. We can take care of Buddy. Anything else besides prayer that we can do. And I sent him Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I'm in the game. My oldest is learning to be an adult. She's not the only one. I've got two that are learning to be adults. I've got to remind myself. They're learning to be adults, but I'm having this conversation with Lauren about the wisdom of staying out late at night. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. I'm in the game. I pray to the Lord to give me the words to help her understand that even though she is not looking for trouble, that there's an enemy and the world is a cruel place. I don't have time to be fatigued in my faith. I'm beyond practicing. Now is my time to deliver. But just like athletes in the games, I make mistakes. Some of Jennifer and I's best friends are a group of parents that I coach over the years. We frequently get together and socialize, often over a meal and a few drinks. One of the group's favorite things to do is to play Cards Against Humanity. Now, as you may imagine by the name, this is not a very biblical game, and it's hard to avoid some very vile language and images. The last time we were together and playing, I came up with a combination that was a bit shocking. One of my friends made this comment: "Remind me not to come to your church when you're preaching." Wow. Talk about words that cut deep. Now, it was said with love and with a smile, but it still had an effect. I'm in the game. This isn't pretend life. What do I say? How do I react? My reply was, even Jesus spent time with tax collectors, prostitutes, and drunkards. But I couldn't shake the comment. Is it good that they know that I preach? Is playing this game hurting my ministry to these people that I care about? Should I not play? How do I minister to them and have fun? All these questions are running through my mind at 100 miles an hour. And then Peter. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do this good? If you are eager, who's going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. I'm not sure if that scripture in that context made me feel better or worse, but I'm in the game and I've got to run the race. I wish I could say that life is as uncomplicated as a football season, though we have preseason, regular season, playoffs, a Super Bowl, and then we get to take 6 months off. It just doesn't happen like that. We're juggling them all at the same time. We never know when we are going to be called to step onto the field and to kick a game-winning field goal with 3 seconds left. We never know if that kind word is the one that leads to salvation of the person that we've been praying for. I do believe that it's important that we take stock of where we are in our spiritual health, that we recognize if we are in a rut and need a time of renewal. We need to make sure that we are fresh in mind and in spirit. We should all be taking care of our faith, building the muscles that we can flex. More than anything, I know that we are called into the game of life at the most important times. As the sons and daughters of Christ, we are called to do his work, the most important work in the history of the world. Let us be ready when our time is called to perform. You guys can have a seat. Just one more thought. I won't keep you long. I know that this message was focused on us as a tool, relying heavily on what we can do, what we can say, and how we can make a difference. But the best news is that God, our mighty Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit lives in each of us and is fully able and ready to stand in the gap when we don't know the answers. We don't have to have the words, he does. We don't have to have the strength, he does. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Test came back positive. Ray Beach is officially brain dead. Please mention her at worship tomorrow. Also, please ask for prayers for Rick Beach and their family at this time of grieving. I will. Her story is already being told. I'm praying for everyone. Looks like we're going to be watching Buddy for a few more days. I'm in the game. Father God, thank you for this time together. I just encourage us all as we go forward here today into the world out there that you might help us see the path that you want us to walk. Help us shine the light that's inside of us. Let us do your work in the world. We say these things in your son's holy name. Amen.